The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland alongside. Still to come, Dr. Bob with his college football championship week play of the week. Nine games, by the way. Four tonight. Why did college football like basically put all four tonight at the same time?
I did not realize that until Fezzik texted us earlier. That is very silly.
Two start at 7 Eastern, two start at 8 Eastern. Well, college football, get it together. Come on. I just want to chime in because Fezzik will be here later also, and he's going to talk about one of the things he's going to talk about. He's going to respond to the Joe Pita question that he put out for everybody. How should he have played his Survivor plays? And I'll just add on because I've said enough about it in the last couple of weeks. You know where I stood on folks, you know, should have seriously considered playing Chicago. And I think Joe agrees with this. Joe may have even said this to me at one point. But I think the part of the Thanksgiving calculus in there was if Cincinnati beat Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. If Cincinnati beat Baltimore going into the weekend, right? If you were mulling what to do, you had to also factor in that if Cincinnati beat Baltimore, if you were all in on Philly, your plays became super minus EV at that point. And that the Chicago play became massively plus EV at that point. But what he's asking is how would you have distributed and all that? But I think that was such a, you know, we just talked about with the Cowboys and the Eagles. Based on this outcome on Sunday, it sort of changes the outcome yesterday. It catapults one way or the other. Based on the outcome Sunday, it will change things, pardon me, dramatically. I think in Survivor, that was like a similar thing where it becomes, okay, this is how it feels like right now. But if this happens one day before, then it's a completely different calculus. So you have to sort of account for that possibility. So we'll see what Fezzik has to say about it. Let's talk some college football with Christopher Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, who is a Miami alum.
No.
We'll start there. But, by the way, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, coming to us from Indianapolis, where the Big Ten Championship will be played. Chris, good morning to you, sir. Great weekend of college football, man.
It is. It's weird because a lot of these conference championship games, like it used to be a great weekend like when the field was four and these games really mattered. But really the only thing that kind of matters right now is the playoff. I mean, the Big Ten championship game is great. Indiana had a chance to go 13-0 and win the Big Ten and be number one going into the playoff. But really, all eyes are kind of on the Big 12 game because that's going to kind of dictate everything that kind of translates and transpires after that.
Yeah, if BYU wins, then the whole thing goes and, you know, flails off into this unbelievable, you know, what the establishment would, I guess, behind closed doors call a disaster scenario, though they wouldn't admit that publicly. But if BYU loses, right, the Duke matter and the group of five teams, that's sort of one part of this. But if BYU loses, then we have a situation. And as I was talking about earlier this week, Notre Dame and Miami now, because BYU is going to move either way, right? Win or loss. They're the team in between.
You'd think so.
So they will be, you know, ejected from that. And Notre Dame and Miami will abut. And you are, yes, you are a Miami alum, but I think we all, me, you, Will, everybody, like we never talked about this. And we all kind of came to the same conclusion independently, which is this sort of feels like now, right after the penultimate rankings, that the committee is sort of setting us up for a evaluation that will strictly now be based on head-to-head. Does that sound right?
It does. And I think that we saw that last week when Alabama moved back ahead of Notre Dame. And if you're looking at resume, I can't argue that resume-wise, Alabama has a better resume than Notre Dame. But Miami and Notre Dame both power rate higher than Alabama. They both power rate higher than Oklahoma. They power rate higher than Ole Miss. So it's kind of this battle of best and most deserving, which you're going to get regardless of how big the field is. But yeah, we're headed towards, I think, a situation in the room where you're going to have Miami and Notre Dame right next to each other for the first time this year. And the fact that Miami had lost 3 days before the first playoff rankings came out, they were penalized and dropped to 18th. They've been moving up and really haven't gotten a ton of help. Really haven't gotten any losses by these teams in front of them. So they've kind of been corrected. So for the first time, you're going to have Miami and Notre Dame right next to each other. And I think for all of the coaches, the former coaches in the room, and the administrators in the room, at that point, it's going to be too obvious to overlook what happened week one in that game between Miami and Notre Dame. You've never had a situation in the college football playoff where Team A beat Team B, and in the final ranking, Team B had the same record, and Team B was ranked ahead of Team A despite the loss. It hasn't happened. And right now, this would be unprecedented. So it feels a little bit like 2014 when Baylor finally went by TCU in the last week of the season. I just keep boiling it down to, like, if I'm in that room and, like, Notre Dame's biggest cases that they're making are – we have better losses. Okay, well, one of the losses was to Miami, who beat you, and we're better now. Like, okay, well, Miami is a bit subjective, but Miami's better now too. In that first game of the year, they had 8 new defensive starters. It was Corey Heatherman's first game as defensive coordinator. Malachi Toney, who is now one of the best all-around players in the game. That was his first college game. Gerard Pringle, who didn't play it down in that game, is now Miami's go-to back. So to just assume that Notre Dame is better than Miami now is kind of a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I have bet Miami to make the playoff at Calci, plus 451. I think you have bet Miami to make the playoff as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've bet Miami to make the playoff as well, and I would still bet them. I think plus 400 now is the best price that I have seen out there. I saw plus 400 at DK. I saw plus 360 at FanDuel. I don't have a lot of other books at my disposal to get those prices. So if you can find a better price than that, I would take it, because I do think ultimately that this will happen come Sunday. And the reason why I'm not necessarily sold on saying, okay, just bet the Notre Dame no, is because I do think that there potentially could be a conversation if Georgia were, say, to win by 14, 17 points in the SEC championship game over Alabama, who has not played good football lately. And that would be Alabama's third loss. I know it's a free roll conference championship game in theory, but would that open up a conversation for the committee to say, hey, Alabama lost to 5-7 Florida State. Miami beat them. So you got to put Miami ahead of them. And then you wind up a situation where Alabama is not the fifth team from the SEC. And you do wind up with both Miami and Notre Dame, which in theory, in reality, actually is kind of the right thing, because Miami and Notre Dame are better than Oklahoma. They're better than Ole Miss. And I think they're both better than Alabama. And I think a lot of the straight power ratings tend to indicate that.
Yeah, I said something similar earlier in the week where I think Alabama, they positioned Alabama to be in even with a loss unless they get blown off the field. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you just sort of something that we haven't necessarily touched on this week, which is, all right, there's the conversation. By the way, I also think Miami fits this ACC need if Duke happens to win the ACC championship, mm-hmm. right? So Miami, there is some kind of tie-in between those two buckets of things. But let me ask a different question, which is there anything in this that you feel like we're all just, or the committee or and the rankings have made us just take for we have to accept as fact that you actually think that you actually think shouldn't be? So in other words, let me just give some examples of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, everybody says, well, if BYU loses, they're out. Well, okay, I'm not really sure that should be the case, right? That's what, if Texas Tech loses, they're still in. I don't know, Oklahoma's in no matter what. Is there something in this that you feel is being taken for granted that shouldn't be?
I think the Texas Tech is probably the thing that I would point to there. I think that they probably would still be in, being that, again, that you want to value these conference championship games and make them relevant. I guess you could argue by making them relevant, you're saying if you lose, it's going to be held against you. But if you look at Texas Tech's resume, I mean, they got the wins in the Big 12 over Utah and BYU, but their non-conference schedule was an abomination. Half of their wins, more than half of their wins, have come against the bottom third of the FBS and FCS. Statistically, they've been good. But I think if it gets into a resume-type situation, then maybe they could be in trouble because their resume, I don't think, would stack up with Notre Dame or Miami. And I guess one other thing, which really hasn't been out there a lot, and I mentioned it in the group chat to you guys yesterday, while we're talking about Alabama, if they lose, would they potentially be out? I think if Alabama wins, I think the tide go all the way up to the number four seed. Jeez. And I know there are spots, certainly on Kalshi, you can bet position or which team will be the number whatever seed. I think yesterday I was able to get Alabama at around plus 360 or so, ultimately, to be the number four seed, which is I think it is a total correlation. I think if Alabama wins the game, they're a longer price to be number four seed than they are to win the game. You look, it's going to knock Georgia down. They're going to go ahead of all of those SEC teams as the SEC champion. I think they'll go ahead of Oregon because they are a conference champion. So I think Alabama to be the number, if you think Alabama is going to win the game, I would just play Alabama to be the four seed.
All right, you can bet on all these things. And the last thing before we get to your picks after the break is, I have to say it contractually, you were adamant that FSU should be left out 2 years ago. The committee apparently doesn't want to kick Ole Miss out because there's no Lane Kiffin and no coaching staff. You support that, huh?
Well, I think the fact that now that Charlie Weiss Jr. is back and going to be calling the plays, I think that kind of softens that blow a little bit. But I think Ole Miss's resume is sketchy. This love triangle of honoring the Ole Miss who beat Oklahoma, who beat Alabama, just because they're kind of connected in the SEC. I would take a closer look at Ole Miss personally.
Okay. Okay. That's something. Coming back, all his plays. Chris's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is going to be fun. Think you can out-handicap one of our own? Here is your chance. First Bet is giving you a free chance to take down VSiN's Mike Somich. Take him down.
Oh, I forgot I timed this read specifically for when Chris Felica was on. Yes.
A five-race showdown Saturday, December 6th. That's tomorrow. We're talking the H. Allen Jerkins at Gulfstream, four graded stakes at Aqueduct, including the G2 Cigar Mile. Just submit your $2 win place mythical picks and try to end the day with more money than Mike. Anyone who does will split the $5,000 grand prize credited right to your First Bet account. Contest opens, or it opened already yesterday at first.com/VSIN, so that is ongoing now. That's 1st.com/VSIN. Free to enter. Bragging rights, of course, included. And we will ask Chris Felica about this here momentarily.
Look at that face on that graphic, Gil. Don't you just want to take money from that guy?
Well, can I say something about our little graphics when we do it like that? Everybody looks fatter than they are. How do you make Mike Somich look heavy?
Hey, man, it's just an awkward angle, all right? They're trying their best.
I'm just saying. Somich somewhere in Santa Barbara, wherever he is now, is railing about that. Chris Felica has competed in contests against Mike Somich before. Joins us now once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Give us your thoughts on Mike Somich, the handicapper, if you would, sir.
Good luck trying to beat that guy. he's really good. He comes up with some very long priced horses and some really good angles and a lot of good handicapping ideas. So he's someone when we had a conversation before the Breeders' Cup about a couple of races and a couple of price horses. And when he finds something with a price horse, I tend to take another look and usually make a wager of some sort involving them.
Well, Chris has the utmost respect. He says good luck trying to beat him, but he doesn't want to discourage you from entering.
I'm taking him
possible.
Down.
Of course not.
It is possible to take him down. We want to say that.
The more involved in the horse racing game, the merrier.
That's right. Okay, let me ask you, college football championship week. There are four games tonight. Let's just take them as a group. Do you like anything tonight as a quartet of games?
If I can, there are some fives, and I think there might even be a couple of five and a halves in that Mountain West title game, at least the odd screen that I saw. If that climbs a little bit more, I could be interested in taking UNLV plus the points in that game. I don't think this is a a vintage Boise theme team. I don't know how healthy Maddox Mattson, the Boise quarterback, is. Like, UNLV's kind of been living a charmed life all year long, winning a lot of close games, being fortunately put into this game by that the only conference tiebreaker that's more ridiculous than the Mountain West is the ACC. Like, New Mexico should be in this game. But I think UNLV plus the point, if we can get 5.5 or maybe even 6, I would entertain a wager here on UNLV.
Oh, man, the crew just got paid today. Oh, that a large chunk of that check's going on UNLV.
Here, I'll put it on UNLV. Is 23.5 enough for James Madison?
Sammy P doesn't think so, and he went into detail on Bear Bets yesterday about how he loves
JMU.
He thinks he's just going to run it up. He's got some good ends there that think that this is just a lay it and laugh, name your score type of game. Old Dominion's the second best team in this league, and they're not in the conference title game because they're in the same division as JMU, and Old Dominion just destroyed Troy earlier in the year. This could feel like a going away type of party for Bob Chesney before he takes that UNL for the USC job. I'm going to take the UNL. I'm not trying to run my man Dan Mullen at UNLV. But, I think this is potentially a lay-in last type spot.
All right, let's go to where you are, Indianapolis, Indiana, Big Ten Championship, Ohio State, a four-point favorite over Indiana. How are you betting this game?
I bet Ohio State 3.5 a couple of weeks ago on the look-ahead line, expecting this thing to run out, and I wouldn't be able to get that good of a number. But it's still hanging around 4, so I would still lay the 4 with Ohio State. I think they're better. Now, I know the game ultimately means more in theory to Indiana to be 13-0, to beat Ohio State, to win the Big Ten, to be the number one seed in the college football playoff. But maybe there's a situation where Ohio State has a little bit of an emotional letdown, at least maybe at the start of the game, coming off that big win over Michigan, all their eggs in the basket to beat the Wolverines. You know you're going to get a bye regardless of the result of this game to look to defend your college football and national championship. But I just think Ohio State's ultimately better. I think in a lot of against the bigger name opponents this year for Indiana, whether it was Oregon, whether it was Penn State, whether it was Iowa, Indiana's kind of struggled at times running the ball. And if they can't run the ball and just solely put this on Fernando Mendoza's shoulders to try and win this game, I don't think that's going to happen. So I did lay the points with Ohio State, and even though it's 4.5 as opposed to 3.5, I'd still go ahead and do that.
Okay, you made great points earlier this week about Diego Pavia's candidacy for the Heisman. You were mentioning regional voting blocks and how he may benefit from those, given the candidates, given how this shakes out nationally. But will you admit that if Indiana wins this outright, that they cannot not give it to Mendoza, right? They have to give it.
Yeah,
to him.
I would be shocked as the quarterback of an undefeated number one team in the country. I can't see a way that the Midwest would, like in the Northeast and other parts of the country that really don't have anybody, the Northwest, whatever, Mendoza will win. If Indiana wins, and as long as it's not like totally ridiculous, he doesn't like throw 3 picks and it's just like a 9-6 type game, I think Joe Pita will be very, very happy come next Saturday night.
By the way, and everybody who is making flights to Oakland to get the Mendoza family burrito in Berkeley after the Joe Pita segment, I believe Joe told me that the burrito is no longer available there, I think.
False advertising. Fake news with Joe Pita.
For real. Wow.
I may have completely made that up, I thought he told me.
Maybe
that.
The secret sauce he would no longer allow him.
You can't. I mean, he left.
The Mendoza secret sauce.
Maybe it's somewhere in Indiana. I don't know.
In Bloomington.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you are on Ohio State minus the 4. How are you playing the SEC championship between Alabama and Georgia?
I went under 24.5 first half. In this game, it's minus 130, I saw, was the best number I had access to. There are a lot of 23.5, but I figured that 24 is kind of a key number in terms of like a 14-10 type game. I think if you look at that first meeting between the two teams, Georgia kind of figured Alabama out in the second half, and the Tide did nothing offensively. Georgia's defense is better now. Alabama's offense has been struggling for about a month now. Ty Simpson his level has completely fallen off from what we saw earlier in the year when he was a Heisman front runner. And on the flip side, Georgia, Being without Drew Bobo, their starting center, did not look great on offense last week against Georgia Tech. Are they going to have difficulty blocking that Alabama front in Big Tim Keenan? I can see a way that this is kind of a slow starting crowd oohing and aahing at every big hit. And Mercedes-Benz will kind of be loud and rocking. You can see maybe a slow start to this one. So I played under 24.5 first half.
And you think the ACC and the Big 12 championship games are lined fairly properly?
I would lean towards laying it now. I mean, there's some 11.5s out there, aren't there, in the Big 12 game?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't see how this game is close. Like, I don't know if Chase Roberts, BYU's best wide receiver, is going to play. He hurt a hamstring a couple weeks back at Cincinnati. Didn't play last week in the UCF game. If he can't go, they have no chance. I mean, that first game could have been a lot worse. Texas Tech had a bunch of short field goals. It was 29-7 and probably could have been somewhere around 41-42-7 had Tech not bogged down in the red zone. I mean, when BYU, it's been a great season for them. They've won a lot of toss-up games, pulled some games out of their tuchus, Arizona and Colorado. Forgive me, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But in terms of a college football playoff contender, in terms of winning this game, I can't see it unless we're looking at Texas Tech and the Big 12 throw in this game so they get multiple teams into the playoff.
Chris has been to the Holy Land, but the still eludes him.
It's a tough one.
I have.
Yeah. Okay, last thing, and I know this is like, you know, too basic a question for those of us who are very close to the sun, but who's winning the whole thing, man? Who's winning it?
I think the group of teams that can win the national title are Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Notre Dame, and Miami. I think those are the teams that can win it all.
That's an interesting list. I like the way
you
answered
that. I'm not sold Indiana can win it all going back to back to back in three games against that type of comp. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's why I think it's really important the committee kind of take a real close look at this back end, because Notre Dame and Miami really both deserve to be in the playoff. Oklahoma is the lowest power rated team out there. That win over Alabama is like carrying the day, and they MF me up and down every day, and that's fine. It was like a 5% post-game win expectancy for Oklahoma. Huh. Their offense is the worst unit out there. It's painful to watch. They're going to get in. But it would be a shame to have one of two teams that potentially could get to the national championship game or win the national title. It'd be a shame to have one of them not in.
I wonder what MF stands for, Kelly. Yeah. I don't know what he means.
I know. Hey, Chris, St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I hear it's really good.
Oh, there you go. Restaurant recommendation. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the game. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Coming back, Dr. Bob and more.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Congratulations to Average Joe Weekly winner Philip Purdy. We had 17 people with a perfect 7-0 record for week 13. Philip wins it on the tiebreaker.
There you go, Phil.
Every week you can jump into the contest by making 7 picks, NFL or college, and the top score takes home $500. Win it with an Edge Boost account, that payout doubles to $1,000. And don't forget, each quarter, one winner gets the ultimate prize, airfare for two to Las Vegas, two-night stay at Circa Resort Casino, and an in-studio guest appearance on a VSiN show. Free to enter anytime at VSiN.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/JOE. We get tweets, beating the book. You guys are the best. This is from JC. I'm glad late night appointments is now a common term on a numbers game.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Yeah, thank you for that one, Corbin. That one. Yep.
Teddy Rack at Big Daddy Rack.
Big Daddy Rack.
Could one say that it was fantastic radio?
Yeah, well done.
Talking about tax code radio yesterday. Well, thank you very much, Teddy Rack. Edward Lefevre. Oh, I like Ed. Ed was here saying hello one day. He said, Gil, please ask Dr. Bob when he comes on how he has Miami ranked, as he quite clearly thinks Notre Dame is top three, especially after we get PCA from the Bear. This is Eric Pinnell. I am holding, this is Eric talking, I'm holding a six-leg team total parlay. Wow. Washington under 9.5, cha-ching. New England over 7.5, cha-ching. Denver over 8.5, cha-ching. Minnesota under 9.5, cha-ching. Rams over 9.5. I'll get there. And this is what it'll come down to. Ready for this? Pittsburgh under 8.5. Oh, boy.
Is he? I caught that earlier. I didn't get a chance to thoroughly go through it. Is he asking us about cashing out or hedging? Is that what he's asking?
He says thoughts on cashing this.
Okay, I know we're always put in an impossible position because you guys are looking for help, and it's very tough for us to be in your shoes, put ourselves in your shoes, right, and answer this. But dude, I feel like you're in a fantastic spot. Think the Steelers win 3 games?
You think he's in a fantastic spot?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's in a fantastic spot. I think that's a proper question for himself.
I wouldn't do anything with that.
I don't know what your cash out number is. I don't know any of that information, so I can't answer it definitively, but I think you're thinking correctly. Cash out numbers are never as good as it should be, right? And, you know, they gotta win 3.
He's got under, right? Under?
He has 8.5? Does he have the under? I'm sorry. That's the first thing I should know. He has the under, pardon me. So he's got to go, you can't win 3, in other words. I don't know. It's coin flippy, man.
It is. I don't think I'd do anything with it.
I think you're a favorite right now. Let's put it that way.
I think you're a favorite.
Forrest Lehman, I may have missed this, but is there any way Notre Dame and Miami can both make it? Yeah, Chris was just talking about that. Sick of the HTH, the head-to-head argument. Freshman quarterback, first start ever on the road, and game was close to the end. Notre Dame is clearly a better team to the eye. And, you know, Chris allowed for that at the end. He was like, I think that he said he thinks they both should be in. Archie Green, we all know Notre Dame is getting in over Miami. It's the brand name, and they do whatever they want to do every year. I don't think you're right, Archie, in this case. I really don't. I think they're setting it up for the opposite. Terry Lash, here's a thought. Can we just play the games on the field to determine the winner? Why are people in a conference room determining who makes the tournament? Rankings as well are just opinions on teams' value and often skewed. Terry, it's what I've been railing about all this time. What are we doing? In other words, when Florida State is an undefeated, didn't make it to the Final Four 2 years ago, that's all you need to know about college football.
Mm-hmm.
If you still think this is like the same thing as other sports we watch, then I don't know what to tell you anymore. DJ Jams, hey guys, I think Jameson Williams thought he scored a touchdown when he threw the ball that way. He thought he had it, but he stepped out of bounds at the 2-yard line. I don't know what he thought. Maybe he did. Either way, is that not a flag? Throwing it downfield the opposite way. is not a standard celebration.
Right, not into the stands,
He threw it down the field. Steve, New York football Giants. One big difference between FSU 2 years ago and Ole Miss now, well, obviously it was a player versus a coach. He says, with FSU, we saw how they looked without Jordan Travis. Even though they won, they showed they weren't a playoff team anymore. Ole Miss doesn't have that same opportunity. Love the show as always, fellas. Thank you, Steve. But, you know, Steve, within that comment, you're not the first person to make that comment. That shows the brainwashing, but like that college football fans have come to accept that as acceptable. Like, oh, we saw them play, so we knew that. What other sport does that apply to?
Right. And why should we assume?
Why
should we assume that Ole Miss?
I love how people say that as if that's some kind of justification. It's like, no, it's not.
Like, if they had 2 more regular season games to play, we're just going to assume that they look exactly the same? I'm not saying they probably wouldn't, Gil, but it's just...
But it's just ridiculous that we somehow accept this in college football. Yeah. Oh, yeah, clearly we have this data point, but we don't have that data. Stop with your data points that someone else kept using as data point. And the committee uses the term data points.
It finally took to this very moment for me to get triggered about this argument. Yeah. I've gotten so used to it. I think it's so silly over the past few years.
I am more amazed now at the people who just accept it as logical. That drives me crazy.
Well, I've accepted it just as nonsense and move on with my life. Yeah. I feel bad for so many people out there that are just stressing themselves out and yelling at the sun over this every single year.
Anyway, I'll say it again. The more teams you have in, the shorter time these debates will be. In other words, Team 69 in college basketball, we talk about that for like 15 seconds, and then we move on. But as long as you only have 12 teams in college football, these debates will rage on forever. You gotta have more teams, and then those debates will dwindle in time, time spent. Corbin, good morning, fellas. Mr. Late Night Appointment
here.
Oh, yeah, Kelly, you should feel amazing being on the Jags, just like I felt yesterday being on the Raps and Cowboys when everyone else was, too. Needed a late-night appointment with the girlfriend this morning to help. Oh, that kind of late-night appointment.
Yeah.
Jason H11, it's tough to say who's Dr. Evil and who's Mini-Me, but I think you'd be better as Dr. Evil. I don't know who he's talking to.
I asked him. I think I'm better than Dr. Evil.
You're better as Dr. Evil. Roger Jones, sorry if this was already mentioned, but the host nation for the World Cup is actually 3 nations. Yes, the U.S. is 1, but so are Canada and Mexico. Yes, we We apologize for the short change on that. And Ryan Thompson, great recap of last night's game, but you failed to meet the quota, yes, for referring to the Cowboys head coach as shoddy. How many times did Kirk Herbstreit call him shoddy?
Especially the first half. It was excessive.
Shoddy. Shoddy dotty.
I know I made a joke going out about St. Elmo's, but you know what I'm just thinking about right now? Mm. Can you think of a specific restaurant that is associated more with a city than St. Elmo's with Indianapolis, Indiana? Like, I think Joe's Stone Crab, South Florida.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
But, like, I don't think it's the same level as St. Elmo's.
Columbia, South Carolina. Diana's on Divine. Love you, Columbia. No, that's a good call, though.
Right?
That's a good call.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of anything.
Because New York, San Francisco, LA,
well,
they're
like, New York, you're going to go into pizza, right? I'm just saying a specific restaurant.
Yeah.
Good for you, St. Elmo's.
There you go.
They need all the help they can get, I'm sure.
Jordan Sherwood was going to join us to talk UFC 323, but he's got a thing.
Yeah, he had something come up.
Got a thing. More important than us, apparently. But we do have his plays to share, mm-hmm. UFC 323, starting with the main event, Kelly Merab Dvalishvili. No relation to the tennis player Nicolas Balishvili. This is Merab Dvalishvili. He is going with Merab in the main event, and also the over 4.5 and parlaying them together. That's the play.
Yes.
The parlay. Dvalishvili and the over in a parlay. Dvalishvili, who beat Peter Yan the first time they fought 2 years ago, and I think Yan was the favorite at that point, and Dvalishvili has just destroyed the bantamweight division since then. He's beaten five different fighters over six fights since then. I think he beat... what's my man's name? Twice in that. Sean O'Malley twice. So he's the better fighter. He's a huge favorite in this. So the way that Jordan is playing it is taking Merab and the over 4.5 in a parlay on that. If this gets the floor, it's over. Basically, Dvalishvili will kill him.
Maybe Larry can help me out with this. Has Peter Yan fought in any title fights like this before?
He used to be the champ back in the Dizay. Co-main.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Okay.
Alexander Pantoja via submission from Jordan at +150. Pantoja talking about like getting to the ground and mm-hmm. it'll be over. He hasn't really been tested on the flyweight mountaintop. Won't be here either, according to most. So he is on Pantoja in that one by submission, though. He's taking the submission +150. His other two bets are... earlier in the night tomorrow, UFC 323, he's on Brandon Moreno, which is the fight right before those two, +110 over Tatsuro Taira. And then Chris Duncan and Terrence McKinney are fighting. He's got the under 1.5 rounds. And that one, he thinks that's a short one. That one will be ended early.
Yeah, what are the under 1.5 at DraftKings is -360.
The under 1.5 is -360.
Under 1.5 rounds.
Oh, so he's
-360.
So he's giving us a -360.
That's what he's laying that price. Yeah.
I noticed the price wasn't up on the screen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, usually I fill that in with he gives me whatever's current usually.
So Jordan, 4-pack from Jordan Sherwood, mm-hmm. UFC 323. If you want more UFC 323 bets, I think Dave Ross has roughly 4,408 picks on this fight card.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Obviously, check out First Strike, our podcast for UFC, Rob Moreno, and the great Dave Ross doing that every week.
Roberto Moreno, along with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
First Strike.
Oh, there you go.
There it is. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hilaire Bear.
They do a great job. New episodes every Wednesday, including this one this week for UFC 323. Dr. Bob and Steve Fezzik. Back to back next on a Football Friday right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sitting here in the Circa Studio, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Circa Resort Studio. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Just getting as emotional as Ariana Grande and that other girl getting all those videos. You ever seen those videos, those two girls? Man, they get emotional.
Ooh, no.
Oh, my God. It's a whole thing.
You said an Ariana Grande video, though?
No. No, just, it's their promotional tour for Wicked. They just
okay.
They behave very peculiarly. We get tweets at Beating the Book. always appreciate the feedback from y'all. Bosch in Chicago. He said Gibson's Chicago.
No.
Talking about your question about
I knew we were getting a lot of
associating
tweets
a restaurant with a city. Chicago's too many great restaurants in Chicago for it to be one. But I understand what you're saying. Gibson's is obviously world renowned. Christopher Ritter, Jimmy's Seafood in Baltimore. Only good thing about that area. Hey. Crab cakes and football,
okay,
baby.
Okay, I don't. You'll have to be the judge on this one, Gil, because I don't know Baltimore well.
I don't
enough.
Know Baltimore well enough
okay.
either.
All right,
I don't know. He might be right.
Oh, Danny Higgins is from the top rope. Overrated, he says. Danny Higgins from Baltimore.
From Baltimore. On the Orioles Baseball Network. Rob Graham, happy Friday, Gil. Kelly guessed it. The Bears slip in a M and an F in his handicap in the bowl games. He did. That's epic. Definitely would have taken the under. 0.5 for curse words. Also, just wanted to let you all know that up here in New England, Saskatchewan is, Northeast Saskatchewan, pardon me, minus 38 Celsius with the wind chill. Wow.
Regina's in the south part of Saskatchewan.
Bro, let me tell you, when I was in Boston, my freshman and senior years, the wind chill was negative 40. And I remember like at 19 years old, just being like, why? By the way, Chris did not curse. When you use the letters,
right,
it is not considered cursing. The RGB for Restaurant City Correlation. Don't forget Skyline and Cincy for spaghetti that they call chili. Well, on second thought, yeah, forget that place. Cheap prop bets. Just know that you have the power to make another restaurant by association to a city by simply releasing the name of a certain sushi place. You think I have that kind of power?
That's a great tweet.
Think I have that kind of, I'm drunk with power now.
That was a great tweet.
Real Uniform Czar. Looking forward to Dr. Bob and Dr. Evil. Yeah, Dr. Evil, by the way, he's referring to Steve Fezzik, is play-by-playing the show. He has a point-counterpoint for everybody who's been on the show thus far.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're an equal-time network, you know?
He's got equal time with everybody.
We got to let Fezzik chime in on everybody's opinion.
Do we? Dell Mind the Gap Radio. When logging in to watch a numbers game, it shows an old picture of Kelly Bidlin. Please replace with the new svelte KB. Have a good weekend. Yeah, I think we're all demanding that. So it's a groundswell.
We'd have to hire a photographer and everything. It'd be a whole process, guys.
You can't just take a picture. It's a whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in the industry. He doesn't like that word. It says it makes him sound old. He prefers legend. Dr. Bob. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at drbobsports, drbobsports.com, where you can find his free analysis on all kinds of college football games and beyond, and really worth going to just for that alone. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
Good. I suppose I should update my photo as well. That was taken when I was 45, and I'm 60 now. So,
60.
But all the photos I have now are with my son or my daughter. You know, so I don't have pictures of me and my kids up, but I suppose I need to update that photo that you guys have.
Anytime you want to send me one, Bob, I'll get it updated. Okay?
Anytime you get around to it.
I get you.
Anytime you get around to it. Okay, so this is, now people are going to be a little deflated by this, right, because they associate you primarily with college football, but your two plays that you released, they've all gone away? To the numbers too far gone?
Yeah, I had two half-unit plays this week that I released on Monday morning sharp, 8 a.m. Pacific time sharp. Kennesaw State was plus 1.5 on Monday morning. They are now minus 2.5, so no play there. And the other one was Virginia minus 3, and they are now minus 4. I mean, there's still some value on Virginia, but it is not a play at that number. So nothing in college. And while people do associate with college, my NFL record the last 6, 7, 8 years is better than my college record. I'm having a pretty good college season, obviously, but my NFL plays are 62, 41, and 2 this year. So NFL has still been better than college over the years. So NFL play today.
You can't. We'll have an NFL play here momentarily. You can't pigeonhole Bob. He is adept at more than one sport. But you do. I don't know how you feel about that. I think because back in the day, right, especially like in 2005 when you were, you know, you were on ESPN. They did a feature on you. The Wall Street Journal did a feature on you. You were everywhere because you were moving college football lines then even more than you do now. You've never, is that still the sport you're most associated with you, would you say?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's hard to move. I mean, the NFL lines move in half point probably every time I release a play, but I mean, it's not like college where they were moving 3 points at the time back in the day. And they still move. Obviously, they once they released earlier this week moved. Yeah, it's harder to move an NFL line, but
yeah, you know. No, totally get it. Okay, let's go to the NFL. What is your play of the week for the numbers game listeners?
Yeah, I like the over in the Buffalo-Cincy game. Bills played a really conservative game last week, 26-7, I think, was the final against Pittsburgh. They ran the ball 63 or 64% of the time. When they did throw it, it was all short passes. They're really conservative, sort of out of necessity. It was windy last week in Pittsburgh. Buffalo didn't have either starting tackle. They didn't have their tight end, Dalton Kincaid. This week should be different. All three of those players are back. The two tackles and Kincaid should be back this week. And they're playing a Cincinnati defense that they can attack down the field. Bengals won't have Trey Hendrickson, and that's significant. Cincinnati's defense, as bad as it is, worse in the league in yards per play allowed. They're 0.9 yards per play worse with Hendrickson off the field compared to when he's on the field. So they're going to be even worse. And the Bills this year, you know, scored a lot of points against bad defensive teams. They've had eight games against teams that are in the bottom half of the league in yards per play allowed, and they've averaged 31.6 points per game in those eight games. Cincinnati's last in that category, so I imagine the Bills' offense will score 30-plus. And, you know, the Bengals' defense, although it only allowed 14 points last week, like I said, they don't have Hendrickson this week, and Baltimore averaged 6.1 yards per play. So the 14 points that Cincinnati gave up last week is a bit of a mirage. They've allowed 30 points a game in six games against teams that rank in the top half of offensive yards per play. So their defense is in trouble. As far as the Bengals offense, Joe Burrow came back. That's good. He averaged 0.20 expected points added per play last week, even when they didn't have wide receiver T. Higgins. Higgins has gotten through the concussion protocol, so he'll be back. Bill's defense is worse than average this season. They won't have Joey Bosa. They suffered a hamstring injury late last week. Bosa still in the top 20 in pass rushing efficiency. He should miss a few weeks. So that's going to help the Cincinnati offense. And also the Bills defense really soft up the middle. They're without interior defender Ed Oliver and linebacker Terrell Bernard. And they've really allowed a lot of runs up the middle. They're allowing 43.2% success rate on runs, which is 25th in the league. So near the bottom of the league. And in inside zone runs, their success rate allowed is 51%. Cincinnati runs a lot of inside zone. They're second highest in the league in running that type of running play. And so the two Bengals running backs should do well. Those guys have had good seasons. They've averaged 4.6 yards per play. The Bengals two running backs, they should surpass that in this game. Burrow's back. Obviously, he's great. So I think the total, it should be higher than it is, even though it's a high total of 53.5. I think the total might be lower because there's kind of bad weather expected in Buffalo, but it's not really bad weather for scoring. Light snow and some flurries are expected during the game, but snow actually increases scoring as long as it is an inches thick lying on the ground. Light snow and flurries with slippery, you know, make the field slippery, and slippery fields can add to scoring, slows down the pass rush, can leave receivers more open than in non-slippery conditions. Receivers know when they're going to cut, and they can prepare for it, while pass defenders have to react to those cuts and tend to slip more. So historically, games with light snow are 1 point higher scoring than an average NFL game. So I think that's not accounted for in the line. I think the line's a little lower than it would be otherwise because there's snow, but it's light snow. And I think the field will be slippery. So I think that actually adds to the scoring. And the model projects 57.5 points. And so over 54 or less is a one-unit play.
There it is. By the way, Ian Rappaport, Bills coach Sean McDermott saying that Joey Bosa, Terrell Bernard, they're out versus the Bengals. Josh Palmer, wide receiver, doubtful. On the good side, Deion Dawkins, their left tackle, has cleared concussion protocol. Real quick, Bob, last 30 seconds. We got a question from Edward Lefevre on Twitter earlier. Obviously, with the Miami-Notre Dame debate, he says he remembers that you have Notre Dame really highly ranked most of the year. Where do you have Miami ranked, he asks?
I think Miami is maybe the ninth best team. They're really good. I mean, I think I had them eighth last time I looked. I think Notre Dame is better than Miami. So this comes down to, and I think comes down to most deserved or better team. Notre Dame, better team. Miami, probably more deserving.
I think that's very, very well stated. Dr. Bob, everybody. Enjoy the weekend, Bob. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Bob Stoll, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Again, a lot of free analysis on the website. Steve Fezzik to tell us everybody who was right and everybody who was wrong on today's show earlier. That's next on A Numbers Game right here.